Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will present an album cut that should have been released as a single by a former member of a group that left that group after a huge argument. 3 years after leaving, though, he and his former bandmates had apparently made up, with two of them singing background vocals on his second solo album. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate the Hammond organ work of a former military policeman that, following a stint in Korea, studied his beloved instrument at the famed Juilliard School of Music before embarking on an amazing jazz career. Later, we will examine a song that, by its chord structure and harmony, would appear to have been the quintessential single by the group that recorded it. As it turned out, though, it has become the forgotten track on an album that sold over 30 million copies. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will crack a smile along with one of the great characters in the world of rock and roll, whose FM classic helped sell a soundtrack album and his own solo album during his band's never-ending group sessions. But first, just as we do each week, we begin with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and were never to be found. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, whether we even have a number 40 depends on whether we are dealing with a chart that charts both sides of a single together or separately. After the Eagles broke up on July 31, 1980, amid smashed guitars, speeding limos, and a near onstage fistfight, each of them kept making music. Glenn Frey's debut solo album was praised when rock writer Mike Degagne stated, quote, "Frey's perfectly guided vocals and impeccable talent for crafting laid-back love songs make his debut album noteworthy," close quote. According to Cashbox, Glenn's single I Found Somebody from that debut album spent a week at number 40 on its way up to peaks of number 27 and 31 on various charts. Its flip side was not shown separately, so technically, the release that contained the song on the flip side spent a week at number 40.
When I talk to her, I know she does. To be a million miles away. When the lights start to dim, she'll be thinking of him. She loves him so, she can't let go. It's been long enough for her
that's when I know she can't let go. I love her so, but she can't let go.
At number 40, that was Glenn Frey with She Can't Let Go, the flip side to his first single outside the Eagles, I Found Somebody. Why did I play it? Well, anybody that was alive back in 1984 will remember Glenn's mega hit, The Heat Is On, the catchy soundtrack song from Beverly Hills Cop that gave him the highest peaking single of any of the former Eagles. One night, I was driving to my aunt's house in central Arkansas, listening to a late night DJ on a rock station out of Little Rock. When somebody called in and requested The Heat Is On, the DJ politely but firmly told the listener that while he liked the record when it first came out, he was now so tired of it that he was never going to play it again. He then offered to play the listener his favorite Glenn Frey solo track, which happened to be this forgotten flip side, She Can't Let Go. Good call, Mr. Unknown Little Rock DJ.
Universe Top 40.
We just heard a single by Glenn Frey, a recording artist who also spent some time acting, appearing in Miami Vice, Nash Bridges, Arliss, and Jerry Maguire. At number 20, we have a selection by another musician who appeared in a movie, blues legend Albert Collins. Motion picture fans from the late 80s will always remember that moment in the hit movie Adventures in Babysitting when Elizabeth Shue, playing the part of babysitter Chris Parker, was required by Albert Collins to jump up on stage and sing the blues in a Chicago club. As it turned out, that cameo appearance by Albert Collins, along with a television appearance on The David Letterman Show, helped lead to renewed interest in Albert and a new deal with Virgin Records. With a song released on the Virgin label called Blues for Gabe, here is Albert Collins getting a little help in the studio from Teenie Hodges, Johnny Gayden, Jim Gaines, and the ever-present Jack Holder. For Gabe, a selection that should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records, that was Albert Collins, that same Albert Collins that in 1988 recorded an excellent live album with Etta James and Joe Walsh entitled Jump the Blues Away.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have the highest charting single by the five-man, one-woman American rock act, Scandal, the almost new wave AOR group, which featured the strong lead vocals of Patti Smyth. This particular single actually peaked at number 11 in New Zealand and South Africa, but went all the way to number 1 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks chart and on the pop chart in Canada. Spending a week at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, on its way to a peak of number 7 on that survey, and number 1 on the mainstream rock tracks chart, that was Scandal, featuring Patti Smyth, and The Warrior, a pop rock classic written by Holly Knight and Nick Gilder of Hot Child in the City fame. Incidentally, when The Warrior hit number 1 in Canada, Nick Gilder became the first Canadian artist to reach the top of the Canadian chart as a lead singer for a band, Sweeney Todd with Roxy Roller, a solo artist with Hot Child in the City, and as a songwriter for another artist.
Number 10.
At number 10, we have another solo track by an ex-Eagle. This one dates from 1980, prior to the full-scale blow-up of the band. By the time the whole band imploded, this accomplished singer and bassist had already been out of the band for almost 3 years. Randy Meisner was one of the four founding members of the Eagles, along with Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and Bernie Ledden. A former member of Poco, Meisner was a solid bassist whose voice became a key component to that unmistakable harmony that graced many of the early Eagles recordings. While he was often overshadowed by the songwriting partnership of Frey and Henley, Meisner sang the lead and co-wrote the band's first million-selling single, Take It to the Limit. That very song, and a horrible argument that resulted from Meisner's reluctance to sing it live, a fear that apparently came about while he was sick with the flu, led to his departure from the Eagles in September of 1977. By 1980, Randy was making his second solo record, having experienced modest success with his first solo album. The old wounds with Henley and Frey must have healed to some degree by 1980, because those two participated as background vocalists in the album's recording sessions.
Right there in your face, I can see the signs. You're living your life just a little too. That you think you have so much time. Take it from me, it never will last.
with a song that should have been released as a single and should have reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was former Eagles bassist Randy Meisner and Trouble Ahead, a track from his One More Song album released on Epic Records.
Number nine.
Well, we just played a solo track by Randy Meisner, the bassist and vocalist who left the Eagles in September of 1977. Now we have a track by the group, co-written and sung by the musician that replaced Randy Meisner twice. When the Eagles were formed back in 1971, two members of Linda Ronstadt's live band, Glenn Frey and Don Henley, were fans of Poco and the Flying Burrito Brothers. They ultimately recruited a member of each band to join them, Bernie Ledden from the Flying Burrito Brothers and, from Poco, Randy Meisner. Meisner had already quit Poco after Richie Fury allegedly barred him from listening to the playbacks of the group's recording sessions during the mixing of their debut album. While Poco went for a while with member Jim Messina overdubbing bass parts, the ultimate replacement for Meisner and Poco was Sacramento native Timothy B. Schmidt. As a member of Poco, Schmidt wrote and was the lead singer on their biggest hit during the mid-70s period, Keep On Tryin'. He also sang as a background vocalist on Firefall's Just Remember I Love You and contributed backing vocals on three Steely Dan albums. When Meisner left the Eagles in 1977, they looked to the same individual that had replaced him in Poco. One of the three hugely successful singles from the group's last studio album prior to their public breakup was this one, co-written and sung by Timothy B. Schmidt.
Look at us, baby, up all night, tearing our love apart. Aren't we the same two people who live through years in the dark? I try to walk away. Something
spending a week at number 9 on its way to a peak of number 8 on the Hot 100, number 3 on the Adult Contemporary Survey, and number 2 in Canada. Those were the Eagles, and I Can't Tell You Why, one of 3 top 10 singles from their number 1 album that sold over 8 million copies in the U.S. alone, The Long Run.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a selection that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a cover song by a group from Kansas City, Missouri that got its name because their practice space was in a dilapidated building next to the Missouri River levee. While the first floor of that building flooded from time to time, their equipment was never ruined because they rented out the second floor. But to get to the entrance, the members of the group had to walk through a pile of poop or mud. Whatever it was, they decided to call themselves Puddle of Mud.
Sleep all day, out all night. I know where you're going. I don't think that's acting right. You don't think it's showing.
That was modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was the alternative act from Kansas City that has hit number 1 on the mainstream rock charts several times and has sold 7 million albums in the process, Puddle of Mud, and their cover of Funk 49, a classic rock standard originally written and performed by the James Gang, a group that in 1969 featured a young Joe Walsh and was produced by future Eagles and Wishbone Ash producer Bill Simzik.
First Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is by a jazz and blues keyboardist that, for many years, was idolized by the blues legend we heard back at number 20, Albert Collins. James Harrell McGriff, known to hard bop jazz fans worldwide as Jimmy McGriff, was born on April 3, 1936, in Germantown, Pennsylvania. He discovered he was a natural on the piano by the age of 5. By the time he became a teenager, he was able to play several instruments in addition to piano, vibes, alto sax, drums, and stand-up bass. However, with the Korean War in full swing, McGriff joined the service. He became a military policeman during his stint with the U.S. Army. When he was discharged, he went to work as a police officer in Philadelphia. But music continued to be a major part of his life. When Richard Groove Holmes played a jazz organ at his sister's wedding, McGriff decided that the organ was for him. His childhood friend, Jimmy Smith, had already recorded an organ-based album for the Blue Note label, and Groove Holmes agreed to become his tutor. McGriff took the plunge and bought a Hammond organ of his own. He spent 6 full months learning the feel of the instrument and then studied organ at Juilliard in New York. Once he felt like he had truly become an organist, he formed his own trio. Eventually, he recorded for Sue Records, releasing Blues for Mr. Jimmy, another one of those albums that rested in that sweet spot equally between jazz and blues. Over time, he recorded a large number of albums for the Sue and Solid State labels before finally joining the roster at Blue Note. Altogether, he recorded as either leader or co-leader an amazing 62 albums over a 47-year period. At the age of 72, organ genius Jimmy McGriff passed away from complications of multiple sclerosis, but not before amassing a legacy of numerous sound recordings that ensured his place permanently in the minds of hard bop jazz fans everywhere. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to Jimmy McGriff. With Every Day I Have the Blues, our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Jimmy McGriff, who was, for many years, idolized for his musicianship by the blues man we heard at number 20, Albert Collins. Thankfully, the two did indeed play together, first in a live Kansas City performance in 1966. 20 years later, in 1986, McGriff played his famous Hammond B3 on the Albert Collins album Cold Snap, which was nominated in 1987 for a Grammy for Best Traditional Blues Recording. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Hans from Germany heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast on his Sony ICF SW7600G receiver with 18-meter long wire. He reports 44444 and tells us that the show was a nice transmission with very good music. He sends his best wishes and ever good health. Well, Hans, we certainly appreciate your report with its photo and very specific details. We send you our best regards in return and hope that you have lots of static-free listening ahead of you. Sam from Portugal sent us a message on Mixcloud to let us know that the air check of our repeat show from April of 2019 was one of his favorites. Well, Sam, we really appreciate that you listened to an older episode, and we especially like that you chose to listen to it the way that it sounded on shortwave. We send you our warmest greetings and hope the best for all of our listeners in Portugal. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
When Don Henley recorded his second solo album, Building the Perfect Beast, he collaborated with some industry greats, including three of Tom Petty's heartbreakers, Stan Lynch, Ben Montench, and, of course, Mike Campbell, with whom he wrote The Boys of Summer. This particular track was co-written by a different heartbreaker, Ben Montench, along with Danny Korchmar and Henley. Randy Newman handled the track's complicated synthesizer programming, an absolutely phenomenal addition to the song. And on backing vocals, that is Patti Smyth of Scandal, who we heard earlier back at number 11.
Let's go down to the sunset grill. Watch the working girls go by. Watch the basket people walk around and mumble. Stare out at the auburn sky. There's an old man there from the old world. To him it's all the same. Cause all his customers by name.
Down at the Sunset Grill. Down at the Sunset Grill. Down at the Sunset Grill. Down at the Sunset Grill.
You see a lot more meanness in the city. Dignity. Hard to get home with any pride. These days a man makes you something, and you never see his face. But there is no hiding place.
Down at the Sunset Grill. Down at the Sunset Grill.
Our bonus hit at number 6, that was Don Henley and Sunset Grill, a single that reached number 20 in Cashbox and number 22 in Billboard. In the Rolling Stone review of the album, Kurt Loder praised this song's lyrics as follows, quote, "The album's longest and most ambitious piece, Sunset Grill, describes in disturbingly vivid images a character's sense of entrapment in an evil, convulsive metropolis," close quote.
Number 5. Live.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. We just quoted a review from one of rock's most celebrated critics, Kurt Loder. At number 5, we have a Memphis song that, according to another famous rock writer, Dave Marsh, was used a little too freely by the Eagles when they put together their own song, The Long Run. In his book, The Heart of Rock and Roll, The 1001 Greatest Singles Ever Made, music critic Dave Marsh called The Long Run by the Eagles a complete ripoff of Otis Clay's 1972 R&B record, Trying to Live My Life Without You. We don't quite see it that way. Yes, the songs share a similar structure, and the beat is identical, but each song has a distinct melody, with lyrics that are not anything alike. Otis Clay's record is framed by the Memphis horns, while the similar instrumental answers on The Long Run are covered by harmonized guitars. We will leave the ranting to Dave Marsh as we enjoy Otis Clay and this high classic at number 5. With a single that peaked at number 24 on the Billboard R&B charts and at number 70 on the Cashbox Pop Singles chart, that was Otis Clay and Trying to Live My Life Without You, a Willie Mitchell production on High Records out of Memphis that inspired the feel and the sound of The Long Run by the Eagles. As pristine as some of those Eagles records were that were recorded at Criteria in Miami, just imagine if they had gone to Memphis and worked with Willie Mitchell.
All Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a selection that charted significantly better in England than it did in the United States. Today's number 4, however, was a huge success on pop and soft rock stations in the U.S. and Canada, but did not chart at all in Great Britain. Back at number 40, we played She Can't Let Go, the B-side to the single I Found Somebody by Glenn Frey. Both sides of that single were from No Fun Allowed, an album that also contained The One You Love, a single that, over the last couple of decades, has demonstrated some real staying power thanks to the sax riff played by Ernie Watts and the sax solo played by Jim Horn.
I know you need a friend, someone you can talk to, who will understand what you're going through. When it comes to love, there's no easy answer, only you can say what you're gonna do. I heard you on the phone, said you were alone, but you call him soon. Isn't he the guy who left you crying? Isn't he the one who made you blue?
A huge soft rock single that peaked at number 2 on the adult contemporary charts in the US and Canada. That was Glenn Frey taking care of the vocals, drums, guitars, bass, and keyboards, and getting help from Ernie Watts and Jim Horn on the saxophones, and Jim Ed Norman with the string arrangement.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Anderson, Indiana, home of the alternative rock act, the Ataris. The Ataris were formed in 1996 by Christopher Rowe and Jason Thomason. Those two made some demos on a 4-track tape machine, programming a drum machine to handle all the drum parts. Eventually, some of their demos were passed from a club to a roadie to an indie label rep who liked what he heard. The group then added Derek Plord on drums and began its indie existence, growing its audience with every new song and at every club show. As time went on, and as the group's fan base grew, they began to receive airplay on real radio stations. Eventually, they were noticed by Columbia Records, who signed them and soon released the album So Long Astoria. From that album came this cover song, which KROQ in Los Angeles jumped on, turning it into a national hit in the process.
Now
with our three from way downtown. Those were the Ataris and their version of the song written by Don Henley and Heartbreaker Mike Campbell, The Boys of Summer. The Ataris version was played on stations of all kinds, reaching number 2 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart, number 10 on the Top 40 Mainstream chart, and number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Universe Top 40.
Number 2. Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a song that should have reached number 1. And in a theme that is repeated quite often on this show, we believe that the only reason that it did not reach number 1 was because a record label did not release it as a single. When the universally lauded album Hotel California was released by the Eagles in December of 1976, no one knew at the time that it would someday become the 3rd best-selling of all time in the United States. Amazingly, that's what happened, with the Eagles in 3rd place behind their own greatest hits compilation, which is in 1st place with 38 million American sales, and Michael Jackson's Thriller in 2nd place with 33 million. Hotel California's sales were driven by its 3 big hit singles, which were first New Kid in Town, then the title track, and finally Life in the Fast Lane. But during the 70s, album cuts not released as singles also could receive heavy airplay. From Hotel California, the songs Victim of Love, Wasted Time, and The Last Resort were on many FM playlists as if they were hit singles. That gets us to today's number 2. If there could ever be such a thing as an underdog track on an album that racked up 30 million sales, Randy Meisner's Try and Love Again would have to be that track. In many ways, it represented the quintessential Eagles laid-back sound, with chiming guitars, vocal harmonies, and a simple chord structure. It was the kind of country rock that they intended to play when they formed. Yet, by the time Hotel California came along, this perfect little song, which is neither angry nor a social commentary, became the easy one to ignore on that powerhouse album.
One by one, the lonely feelings come.
number two with a selection that should have been released by Asylum Records as a single. That was the Lost Eagles track that would have hit number one, Try and Love Again, written and sung by Randy Meisner. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a song that makes every rock fan that has ever heard it smile. Yes, it may have been overplayed a little during its initial chart run, but all these years later, it maintains its sense of humor along with its catchy riff and perfect combination of rhythm and lead guitar throughout. Joseph Fiddler's mother was a classically trained pianist. After Joseph was born, his father was killed in a plane crash. As a five-year-old, Joseph was adopted by his stepfather, with his former name Fiddler becoming his middle name and his last name becoming the last name of his stepfather, Walsh. Growing up around the Columbus, Ohio area, Joe Walsh loved the guitar and was influenced by the Ventures and the Beatles. His family moved to New York when he was 12 and then to New Jersey. After high school, he attended Kent State and was actually present when the shootings took place there. Later, he told a writer from the San Diego Tribune, quote, "Being at the shootings really affected me profoundly. I decided that maybe I don't need a degree that bad," close quote. Quote. He left school soon to be a part of the James Gang in a key move that would ring with repercussions in many ways for years to come. Lemon Piper's manager Mark Barger put them in touch with producer Bill Simzik, which led to the recording of such FM rock staples as Funk 49 and Walk Away. Walsh left the James Gang in late 71, declining an offer to replace Peter Frampton, who left Humble Pie. He ended up working with his own band, Barnstorm, and then using Barnstorm on his solo album projects for ABC, such as The Smoker You Drink, The Player You Get. By 1975, he was invited to join the Eagles as Bernie Ledden's replacement, based upon the recommendation of producer Bill Simzik. The band was rewarded with a dueling instrumental between Walsh and Don Felder in Hotel California that was voted by the readers of Guitarist magazine as the greatest guitar solo of all time. While the Eagles struggled to finish their album The Long Run, Walsh put together another solo album during the interim, But Seriously Folks, which featured the other four Eagles, produced by Bill Simzik and Walsh together. One of the tracks from that album solidified Walsh's position as a spokesman for all rock musicians when it was plucked from his upcoming album and released first on that Grammy-winning soundtrack we discussed back in episodes 24 and 49. FM.
I have a mansion, forget the price. Ain't never been there, they tell me it's nice. I live in hotels, tear out the walls. I have accountants, pay for it all.
School.
with our Hall of Perfection track at number one. That was Ringo Starr's brother-in-law, Joe Walsh, getting a little help from his fellow Eagles and Eagles producer Bill Simzik on the rock song that makes everyone who has ever heard it smile, Life's Been Good. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to John@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static. Alt Universe Top 40.